Good morning. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 138. We'll open our worship service with Psalm 138, and while you're turning, a couple of updates. Our pastor is home. He came home yesterday from the hospital. He's very weak. We continue to remember both him and Janet in prayer. And also our brother Eric is in Danville this morning, right? He's in Danville, so we pray for the message there, as well as traveling mercies. Let's open with Psalm 138. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me, strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. We'll end our reading there. Let's pray together. Our holy Heavenly Father, thank you for drawing us here today that we may worship. Thank you for giving us a heart that yearns for your righteousness, that yearns for Christ. Thank you for drawing us here, Father. Thank you for providing this place where we can hear your name proclaimed as it ought to be, in holiness and in glory and in honor, where we can hear of Christ one more time. Father, teach us. Teach us of Christ. Teach us to pray for what we don't ask. Father, provide. Provide for our congregation. And Father, thank you for this time. May your name be glorified and worshiped, exalted here in this place today, as it ought. Send your Spirit to be with us. Father, we pray for those that are undergoing trial. We pray for our pastor. We think of Janet. We think of others who are undergoing physical, emotional trials, brokenheartedness, coldness of heart. Father, remember that we're dust. And restore us unto you. Strengthen us. Provide for us. And as you've promised, we lean on your word, Father. Give us a heart to trust your will in whatever be done, to trust you. We pray for our children here in this congregation that you be merciful according to your will, according to your word, according to your goodness. Father, we lean on you for all things. We thank you most especially. We thank you for Christ, for accomplished salvation in him, for sin completely put away as far as the east is from the west, that we may come boldly to a throne of mercy. Father, we're thankful. We don't forget to pray for your congregations, your pastors, your preachers across the country, wherever they may be, across the world even at this time, that are proclaiming your name. We pray that you bless them. We also remember our friends and our brethren out west, and California and in Oregon, where the fires are, that you protect them according to your will. Father, we pray these things thankfully and in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.
When I was lost in sin and shame, how thou let me take the blame. Blessed Lord, how merciful thou wast to me. When I could look down deep within and see the sinfulness of sin. Blessed Lord, how merciful thou wast to me. Oh, how merciful, how merciful. Blessed Lord, how merciful thou art to me. Oh, how merciful, how merciful. Blessed Lord, how merciful thou art to me. A sinner lost and so hell-bent, yet thou sayest I must repent. Blessed Lord, how merciful thou wast to me. I wonder why should I rebel with a soul deserving hell. Blessed Lord, how merciful thou wast to me. Oh, how merciful, how merciful. Blessed Lord, how merciful thou art to me. Blessed Lord, how merciful thou art to me. I'm not ashamed of all thy grace when you came and took my place. Blessed Lord, how merciful thou art to me. Ceases to be, eternal blood will speak for me. Blessed Lord, how merciful thou art to me. Oh, how merciful, how merciful. Blessed Lord, how merciful thou art to me. Oh, how merciful, how merciful. Blessed Lord, how merciful thou art to me.
This morning I am pleased to reintroduce our friend and brother Roland Browning from Dingus, West Virginia, his wife Lori. We thank you all for being here, for being with us, and Roland, you come preach the gospel to us.
We're thankful to be here. The Lord has blessed us. Pray that the Lord will bless his message this morning. We pray that your pastor will continue to heal. We've known Frank a long time. And we're thankful that the Lord has put him in a place to preach the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to gather here again. It's been a while since I've been here, but we're thankful that we're here. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Deuteronomy. The title of the lesson, or the message this morning, is The Faithfulness of God. What is this? Why do we do the things that we do? Why does he show mercy unto a people while passing by other people? Why is all this? What's taking place in our world today as we know it? Some say, oh, this is Satan's work. This is something that Satan's doing, inflicting pain upon people. But the scriptures tells us that God does all things, everything that happens in this life and in the life to come is for a purpose. That is for my good and for God's glory. Explain that. That's far as I can go. I don't know why this thing is happening here in our nation except to say God brought it. God brought it. And God will see it through. Turn with me again to Deuteronomy chapter 7. We're going to read verse 7, 8, and 9. I'm basically going to deal with one subject, the faithfulness of God. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were fewer of all people. He's talking about the natural Israel, the nation of Israel. But we can bring this right down to our day. God did not set his love upon us because we're more in number. We're fewer. You look around. Look around all the buildings that you passed by on your way here. Crowds and crowds and crowds. Verse 8. This is the reason he set his love upon us. Because the Lord loved you. And because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know there, therefore, that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant mercies with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. Our God is faithful. Makes no difference what we think. Makes no difference. Our God is faithful. Throughout the book, you read from Genesis through the book of Revelation, you'll find the faithfulness of God. He does all things according to his own will, according to his own purpose that he had determined to do before the foundation of the world. This attribute, this is what Mr. Pink called an attribute of God. The attribute of faithfulness is essential to his being. He's God, and besides him there is none else. He rules, he reigns, he directs all things according as he sees fit. Some will say, well, that's sovereignty. It is. That's sovereign. He's sovereign Lord over all. No one gives him anything. No one is able to supply him with anything. He supplies all things for himself. But without this thing of faithfulness, when Adam sinned in the garden, what would God do? Oh, he remained faithful. He remained faithful. He said, I will have a people. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then, throughout eternity, before the foundation of the world, he purposed these things to come to pass. The scripture tells us that Christ was stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before there was ever a sinner, there was a sacrifice. Why? Because God's faithful. Because he will see this thing through. And now, when he created Adam in the garden, when he brought him there and he breathed the breath of life into his soul, he became a living soul. And when Adam, how long he was in the garden before he sinned, I don't know. The scriptures don't tell us, and it makes no difference. All we know that Adam sinned. Oh, God should have cut him off. Oh no, God is faithful. He provided a sacrifice. He took an animal and killed that animal and made clothes for Adam and his wife. Why? Because he's faithful. He's faithful. I will have a people, and they shall be willing in the day of my power. Paul said it this way in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. This one is holy, 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 is faithful. Faithful to every characteristic of his being. Faithful is who he is. This describes him. And he cannot deny himself. Faithfulness is the glorious perfection. The glorious perfection of his being. One writer said, it is as if he is clothed from head to toe with this thing of faithfulness. He wears it. He wears it as a garment. The psalmist said in Psalms chapter 89 and verse 8, the Lord of hosts, who is a strong Lord likened unto thee, for to thy faithfulness round about thee. Who's likened unto him? Who can we compare God to? No one. No one can compare to God except God himself. And when we just start defining God, when we start describing who he is, we must take his own word. Because our words are not sufficient. This tongue is not able to magnify and glorify the God of heaven and earth. Who was it? Paul said he was called up into the third heaven and he saw things and heard things that it was not lawful for a man to speak. He actually saw, I believe, God's people worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Worshiping him as holy beings, holy characters. And because this tongue is sinful, it's not lawful. It's not lawful for me to utter these words. I don't have the ability to praise God as he ought to be praised. When God spoke to Moses in Leviticus chapter 11, he said, "For I am the Lord your God. Your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy." And then he gives us the Spirit. He creates within us this new being, this new creation, this holy thing that is born of God, sinneth not. The man that is born of God, the inward man. I'm not talking about this flesh. We sin daily. We come short of the glory of God every hour of every day. With every breath that we take, we sin against God. But oh, this inward man that he has created within us cannot sin. For it is born of God. And God cannot sin. And he gives us his Spirit. Oh, that would lead us and guide us and direct us, causing us to to worship Him. Why do we come here? Why do we come to the house of God? Because God is faithful, and He has put within us that faithfulness to some degree. Oh, we lack, we fail, we come short, yes, but we still have this inner thought in this new being, this new creation, that I want to hear the Word of God. I want to be with God's people. I want to hear Christ magnified and glorified and set forth. We never had that at one time. We'd go by the church building and never think about it. Oh, I'm all right. I've done this. I've done that. But when God begins that work within us, causing us to come to Him, causing us to have faith in Him, and causing us to love Him as we do in this being, then He gives us of His Spirit of faithfulness and tells us, come unto Me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Oh, the promises of God are sure and steadfast in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that He has to offer us, everything that He has to give unto us, comes to us in and through the Lord. It is His sufficiency. It's His righteousness. It's His obedience. It's His sacrifice. And then He creates within us faith to believe it. Or faith to lay hold of these things. Without this thing of faith, the Scripture tells us it's impossible to please God. But with faith, we come and we worship and we magnify His name, giving glory to Him for all that He has done. Although we be sinful creatures. When our Lord came in the flesh, when He became flesh, this is proof of the faithfulness of God. God set His love upon a people. Now, I don't understand most of this, very little of things clear in Scripture. But I know this, according to Scripture, God chose a people before the foundation of the world. Before there was ever a people, God said, they're Mine. He picked one here, one there, one here, and He said, these are Mine. These are Mine. I will be their God, and they will be My people. Well, what happened? Sin entered in. Sin came by Adam. Sin entered in to this thing. Was that a surprise to God? Oh, no. No. He had a sacrifice, as we said before there was ever a sinner. And this, when our Lord came, the Son of God, that was seated with God in the heavens from all eternity, He came and took upon Himself flesh, made of a woman, made under the law. What is that? That's bearing out the faithfulness of God. God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. And because of His love and because of His faithfulness, He sent forth His Son, made of a woman. And when he came, He came in flesh like yours and mine, yet without sin. There was no sin in Him. There was no sin about Him. There was no sin found on Him. He was a perfect man, but yet He was God. He came and He consumed this thing of sin, but oh no. He came, and the Lord had laid on Him, the Scripture says, the iniquity of us all. Does that mean every man under the heaven? No. If you look at the word us and we, it's a separation from people. It's a separation that God makes. It's us who worship God in spirit. It is we that are sanctified by God. Not all men by nature. Not all men in the world. For we see men cursing God's name even today. So when Christ came, he came in the flesh. And Isaiah said, in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse." This is the way that our Lord is going to take upon himself flesh. He's going to be of the tribe of Jesse. "And of a branch shall grow out of his root. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding." No one spake like this man. No one was able to comprehend what he did. They saw things that he did with the natural eye, but they had no understanding of it. He could have the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. He's not going to judge you for what you say and what you do. He's going to do a righteous judgment. "But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with iniquity the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked and the righteous. The righteousness shall be a girdle for his loins." He's clothed with it. He's clothed with this thing of righteousness and faithfulness. "The girdle of his reins." How was it David said, "Oh, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches even unto the clouds." Our God is faithful. And everything that he does because he's faithful. Every sin that he puts away is because he's faithful to a people. He's faithful to those who he chose before the foundation of the world. He's faithful to those who Christ has redeemed. And he's faithful to those who have been regenerated by his Spirit. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He will go with us always, even unto the end of the world. Far above our comprehension, far above our comprehension, is the unchangeableness of God's faithfulness. Oh, everything about him is great. How can a sinful tongue describe the greatness of our God? Everything that he does, Brother Don said, he don't do anything except great works. Great works. His power. Oh, the power to create life itself. To breathe into a man a breath of life, and that breath, that soul that he breathed into this breath of life, it shall live forever. Those that he has redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, they shall live in joy with the Lord Jesus Christ. But those that he has passed by, they shall live in torment forever and ever and ever throughout eternity. So what he does is great. His power is great. His holiness. Is there any likened unto him? Is there anything too holy for God? God is holiness himself. And this thing of the unchangeableness. He changes not. He changes not. "Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Oh, every attribute of his being is glorious and faithful. The more we see of him, the greater he becomes to us. The more we understand of him, the greater we see and desire to be with him and like him. He never forgets. Oh, I make myself notes now. I go to do something or go to get something, I write it down. Oh, but not so with him. Everything from eternity future to eternity past, whatever that is, he remembers in an instant. He never fails. Oh, we sin and come short of the glory of God daily. We fall and we fail and we do it every day. But not so with him. He never falters. He never stumbles or staggers. He never forfeits his, he never goes against his word. He never misunderstands the word that he's given us. And he does this that he may declare every promise that he has made in Holy Scripture, every prophecy that any prophet has ever spoken concerning the Lord our God, God is faithful to perform it. Faithful to perform it. The writer of the book of Numbers said it this way: God is not a man that he should lie, neither is the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? This is his faithfulness. This is his faithfulness. I have spoken it, I will also do it. I have purposed it, and I will also bring it to pass. Everything that is in this book is or will be performed. He's either doing it right now, he did it in the past, or he will do it in the future. Our souls rest upon his faithfulness. Our souls waiteth upon the Lord because he's faithful. We know with an understanding that he will do what is right. No wonder Jeremiah said, "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his passion faileth not. They are renewed every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Let me read you. You sing it here. I've heard it sung here several times. "Great is thy faithfulness." I'll read one verse and read one verse of this song. "Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All that I've needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, unto me. Even unto me. Time after time, we read in God's word of his faithfulness. Many years had passed since when Noah built the ark. The Lord told Noah, said, "You build an ark, and you take of the animals, and you bring them into that ark, two by twos, some more than others. The clean animals was more than the unclean animals." So Noah built this ark. And the scriptures tells us that while Noah built the ark, he preached. He preached unto the world that he was living in that day. And as he preached and built this ark, God blessed him. Now, this is the first time that, as far as I can understand in Scripture, that anything like this was ever built. But the Lord gave Noah an insight, and he began to build. And when he had built that ark, God, the scripture tells us that him, his wife, his three sons, and their wives entered into the ark. And God shut the door. And it began to rain. And it rained and it rained and it rained and it rained. To the point that the whole world was covered in water. Now listen to what he says in verse 8. "And he destroyed every living thing. Every living thing that is upon the face of the earth that was not in that ark, God destroyed." And he told Noah in Genesis chapter 8, in verse 20. "And Noah built an altar." Noah, after it had rained these so many days, the water began to recede. And Noah's ark landed upon a dry land. And the first thing Noah did when he got out of that ark, he built an altar. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offering on the altar. And the Lord smelled. Oh, was this a surprise to God? Oh, no, no. And the Lord smelled the sweet savor of that sacrifice, the sweet incense of that sacrifice. And he said in his heart, the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, listen to God's faithfulness here. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. It shall not cease. Every year brings forth a fresh witness of the faithfulness of God. Every morning when we see the sun arise, we bear out the faithfulness of God. Every night when the sun sets and the moon rises, bears out the faithfulness of God. We read in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. This is the faithfulness of God. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Now, if I understand Scripture right, if I understand some of the history that is leading up to this, it was 740 years before it ever came to pass. Isaiah spoke of this 700 and some years before it was ever brought to pass. But Paul tells us this in Galatians chapter 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, when God's faithfulness bears out, it's going to happen. I'm going to redeem my people. I will have a people and I will redeem them. 740 years after he gave this promise, he fulfilled that promise. Is that not faithfulness? You and I forget from day to day what we promised today. You and I say, well, I'll be here tomorrow, I'll be here next week. And it may slip and we forget, but not so with God. 700 and some years, he waited, and then he fulfilled this promise as he has spoken. So God is faithful. God is faithful to his promise and faithful to his people. Although we may not see it, although our eyes and our ears and our hearts may be dimmed, our God remains faithful. Times when our faith is sore tried, do we see the faithfulness of God? No, we forget. We forget. Times when our eyes are dim with tears, we forget of the faithfulness of God. He's told us, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. I will not turn away from thee, but to do thee good. But oh, we forget. We forget. Time when our eyes are distracted of the things of this world. The things of the world is so easily distracted by, or so easily distract us. Time when we are harassed by the religions of the around us. Oh, time when Satan's loud voice roars in our ears and it seems to deafen our ears to that still, small, quiet voice of, I will be with thee. I will not forsake thee. I'll go with thee all the way. Time when our cherished plans have been thwarted. We forget. Times when friends and relatives have failed us. Time when we're staggered. Oh, time when it seems like we don't have the strength to raise our head up. Oh, we sought to be faithful to God, and now a thick dark cloud has hidden his face. This thick dark cloud of unbelief, unfaithfulness has hidden his face from us. Will we even say, Lord, do I believe or not? Am I his or am I not? How can a child of God think these things, do these things, say these things, and act this way? Lord, how can it be that I am one of your elect and still have this thing of sin dwelling within me? We forget about his faithfulness. We find it difficult, yeah, even impossible, for carnal reason to harmonize with the frowning providence of his gracious promises. These are times that we need to read what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? Are there any that fears the Lord in our day? Is there any that obeys the voice of his servant? That walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let us trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon our God. Stay upon our God. Be rooted and grounded and settled in this thing of faith, for he is faithful. Oh, I'm so thankful that it's not my hold upon him that keeps me. It's not my hold upon him, but it's his hold upon me. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind the frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds so much you dread are rich with mercy and shall break in blessings o'er your head. Why is it? Because he's faithful. Because he's faithful. David said, righteousness art thou, O Lord, and uprightness are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Everything that he does because he's faithful. You read through this book. God has not only told us of the best promises, he's told us of the glory that we shall receive in heaven's glory. He's told us that we shall be like him and with him in eternal bliss. Throughout the book, he tells us time after time after time, these are yours. These are yours. My grace is sufficient to give unto you all that you need. But he's also told us the faithfulness that he describes and the ruin which man has fallen into. He has faithfully diagnosed the terrible state that this sin has produced. And he has faithfully made known throughout this book of his hatred for sin. He has faithfully proclaimed that sin must be punished. Faithfully proclaimed it. His word has told us, for our God is a consuming fire. There is example after example after example written in his word that causes us to take note of these things. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Anyone who opposes him will lift their eyes in torment. And he tells us, my son, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only hope. He's the only hope. He's the only remedy for this thing of sin. And then he gives us faith to look. Look, look, look. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God, and besides me there is none else. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. Let me read you a few verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 1. Paul is giving an account to the church at Corinth here of how that he is an apostle. And this testimony that Paul gives us here is a result of God's faithfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sophias, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus, that in everything you are enriched by Him. Everything you are enriched by Him. In all utterance and in all knowledge, it comes from Him. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? How is this possible? How is this possible? That God would call a people and tell that people, as Paul did to the church at Corinth, you are a holy people. You have been sanctified. You have been redeemed. And you're going to be kept. You're going to be kept. Verse 9 tells us, God is faithful. By whom we're called under the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the only reason that we continue. It's, whoa, my, I got faith. This is the only reason that you and I continue in this thing, is because God's faithful. He will not let us leave. If we could leave, we would leave. If we could go out the door and never come again, we would do it. But God is faithful. He will not leave us to ourselves. He will not leave us. This is one of the, when I'm called to come and speak, this is the one most dreaded thing that I dread, is that God would leave me to myself. Left to myself, it's hard to say what I would do. But He says that He will preserve us. He will keep us. He will never leave us, even to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's faithfulness that preserves you and I. It's God's faithfulness that keeps us, keeps us, keeps us. Paul was confident in the absolute security of believers. Confident. His confidence was not founded upon the strength of his own resolution. Oh, I've begun this work. I started living for the Lord. No, no. God began living within me. That's the difference. That's the difference between the preaching around us and the preaching that gives God's glory for His grace. I started this and I can quit. I heard a man years ago. He'd been preaching in a Pentecostal church as long as I can remember. And the subject came up of eternal security. And he said, well, I know that the scriptures tells us that God will never leave us. He says, but we can leave God. Then it's up to me then. It's in my power. Oh, no, no. I don't leave Him because He won't allow me to leave Him. I don't have the strength to do this on my own. It's His faithfulness to me that keeps me looking. God is faithful in glorifying His people. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, "For the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." That means make you holy, holy, holy. And I pray your God, whole spirit and soul, I pray that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that called you, who will also do it. This is not our work. This is not our power. This is not our resolve. It's His work. It's His faithfulness. And it's His power that does it. So, glory be to His name. God deals with us not on the ground of our merit. Oh, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that He don't look at me and say, "Oh, He's done a good job." Oh, no. There's no merit here. Everything about us is plagued with this thing of sin. Even the message that we attempt to preach, Brother Henry said, there's enough message in the best, or the much sin in the best message I ever preached to send my soul to hell 10,000 times over. So it's not of merit, and it's not of worth. It's of His faithfulness to me. Giving me, causing me, coming unto Him. Coming. What the Scriptures say, looking unto Jesus. Not looked. Not I looked a long time ago and now I'm all right. It's looking. Every hour of every day, we must continue to look to Christ. For when we take our eyes off of Him, then we fall in the ditch. Whom He called, this is how faithful He is. Whom He called, them He will also glorify. Whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. This is His faithfulness to you and I who look to Christ by faith. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." And people say, "Oh, there it is. I've got to commit something." You don't have the power to commit anything except sin. Oh, to have a good understanding, have a knowledge of this truth that God is faithful, will cause us to bow before Him and cry out, "Lord, leave me not alone. Leave me not alone." The understanding that God will preserve us blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ will increase our confidence. Increase our confidence. "Lord, it's not of me, but it's of your word. Leave me not alone." Peter said it this way in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator." When we trustly and truly resign ourselves to Him, when we truly and trustfully resign all of our affairs in this life and in the life to come to Him, put all things in His hand, fully persuaded of His love for me, fully persuaded of His faithfulness to me, then, and only then, can we trust Him as we ought to. But while we're here in this flesh, we struggle. But let us remember, our God is faithful, and He will do what's right. Thank you.
Brother, thank you. That was a blessing. You know, our hope is completely tied up in our Savior, and he is faithful to perform. Thank you, brother. That was a blessing. I'm thankful that our Lord gave you that message and the strength and willingness to come here and preach to us. Thank you. Before we dismiss, let's close in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful for prayers answered, that this time was a time of worship. Thank you for blessing this time, for blessing our brother. We pray that you give him and Lori traveling mercies on their way home this afternoon. Bring them back to us safely when it's time. Thank you for blessing this time. Thank you for glorifying your name and that Christ was proclaimed from this pulpit one more time. I pray that you bless the hearts of your children, that your words sink in. Give us minds to ponder these things this afternoon and the week to come, that we may be reminded as the sun sets and as the sun rises of our Lord's faithfulness. We pray this thankfully in Christ's name for his sake. Amen. Okay, you're dismissed.